following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Would you open your Bible to Romans chapter 12 tonight? We're going to continue on our series, God Without a Name, the Holy Spirit, God Without a Name. And tonight, the focus is a continuation of where we were a couple of weeks ago. I think the title of that message as we began was, What's Your Big Idea? And we never really got to your big idea, because what we spent the whole time 2 weeks ago talking about was really things like this, what's happened over in the Philippines. When something is just dropped in your path, it wasn't on your schedule, it wasn't something that you'd planned for the day. And set, how many of you do this? I set two alarms for myself when I put it on my schedule. I'm so glad I have a phone that does that for me. It tells me typically, let's say, an hour before, 2 hours before, a day before, 2 days before. It wasn't one of those kind of things that you had planned. This just came. And so even now here we are as a congregation, but how many millions of people in the Philippines responded instantly and changed their plans that day? And so we talked a lot about that a couple of weeks ago, and I think we kind of walked down this list, led by the Spirit in our daily walk, where you're worshiping and you're seeking God, and you get opportunities for witness and testimony and good works, which are the opportunity, and then your response. And it's just right in the middle of the day, and maybe the Lord sort of nudges you. I had one of those this morning, and I love when God sets this stuff up. And I'll tell it to you very briefly. I try to get out and, you know, burn off a few calories in the morning. And the earlier, the better for me. And so I got about an hour routine that I walk. And I got out a little earlier than normal. So I thought, well, I'm going to stretch it a little bit further and, you know, 10 or 15 minutes more. And I went to a turnaround point. And when I'm coming back on my return trip home, I thought, well, I'm going to walk around behind these buildings, you know, and then I just, I thought, no, I think there's this one guy I've been praying for. He doesn't know the Lord, but a great guy, really wonderful, wonderful man, and we have a great, you know, conversation whenever we get together, and I've just been praying for him, and he's been on my heart, and I thought, well, I know what caffeine store he usually hangs out at, but if I go in there, I know I'm going to get stuck. And so I thought, well, I'm going to walk around behind. And I just felt this gentle pressure that I've learned to obey. And I thought, no, I'm going to walk by the front. And so I'm still thinking, man, if I go in there, I know I'm going to get stuck and I won't get home on time to get here on time and all that. How many of you do those little games in your mind? Yeah. But so I said, okay, I'm going to walk by the front. And he wasn't in the coffee shop. He's sitting straight ahead of me in a chair out on the sidewalk, and I've never seen him sitting out there all by himself, nobody else. And it was just a God moment there. It was an opportunity, and I was able to respond and just tell him in such a direct way, like I don't think I ever have before. Man, God, you know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. What he came and he did it for you, and he did it for me, and it was just a powerful moment, and so it's those kind of things, and it's all in the course of your day. It's not the things you had planned. It's the things that come at you. How many of you have had things come at you recently? And praise God, you had one of them in the surf the other day you were talking about, Dan. Come up here a second. You got to share that story. That was really cool. Get up here any way you want. You can climb over the thing. Well done. Tell me about that, your little surf incident. Okay, well, that was very cool.
It was stupidity, first of all. I saw Pastor Bill riding on the bike trail, and I was going out surfing, and I was all excited because it was a sunny day. And go out, and I get hit by a stingray.
So not the car, not the car, the critter.
The critter, yeah. And so, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, you're supposed to put it in hot water. And I just said, I'm just going to pray, you know, and ask God either to give me strength or, you know, or just to heal me. So it didn't hurt for an hour and a half, and I surfed, and I got a chance to share with a guy that, you know, I've seen him surfing, and he was, he said, I don't know how it came up. Oh, I told him I prayed for my foot, And he said, "Oh, you're a Christian." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I used to go to Calvary Chapel Downey." And I said, "Well, you know, Jeff Johnson was teaching at our church." And he said, "I need to go back." And I said, "This was a divine appointment." So anyway.
Right on. That's it, man. Now, did you meet him out on the water or in the when he came in?
You know, I had seen him surfing, and he's part of a group I surf with, but we never really talk, so.
How nice. How's your foot?
It still hurts. And as soon as I got out of the water, it just started throbbing. But God gave me grace for about an hour and a half.
So. All right. Well done, man. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of stuff. So obey the Lord and follow him. But what I want to do tonight is take this a step further. And in Romans 12, starting at verse 3, we're going to talk about not the stuff that comes at you just in the course of your day. Some of that you would think, "I'm not qualified for that. I'm not ready for that." But God just drops it in your lap. But I want to talk about the things that become your life focus. Maybe some of them for a season, maybe some of them for the rest of your life. But it's something that changes the course of the focus of your life if you're a follower of Jesus. And typically, and I want to say this graciously, if you're not just a Sunday or Wednesday go-to-meeting Christian, if you're a Christian that says, "God, I want you to get the most out of my life that you can. I want to be on task for you, Lord, as long as I live." This is about our life focus, living for him. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 3. Another list of gifts of the Spirit. By the way, I think you need to know this. I think you need to remember this as you read the Bible. There's some people that have a difference of opinion on this. I can't find one place in Scripture where Paul or Jesus or any other writer says, "Now I'm going to give you the 9 gifts of the Spirit," as if there were only 9. Or the 5 leadership gifts of the Spirit, as if there were only 5. I don't think God put a limit on the gifts that he hands out to people. Now, it's interesting. You can make a list of those, 9 fruits of the Spirit and all that, and we'll get to that as well. But I just want to read this in its context here. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start at 1. I know it says up on the board or on the screen, verse 3, but let's start at verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, which includes our sisters too, although cisterns doesn't sound as good as brethren, but brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that's everything you are, inside and outside, but give God your physical body as well, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I love the way that the New American Standard puts this. It is your reasonable service of worship, or something like that. It calls it worship. You see, when the Jews would think of worship or sacrifice, what would they think of? What were their sacrifices? An animal that had to die. Now, there was a scapegoat that got to live, but only because another one died. But it was always a dead sacrifice, a sacrifice that shed blood and was offered on an altar. And how many of you are glad that Paul said, "Offer your bodies a living sacrifice"? You get to live and serve God. That's what he's always after anyway. That's what worship is. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I don't think there's any question that in this chapter, at this point in Paul's letter, after he has plowed through powerful, important theology and doctrine of salvation, what a mess we were, how Jesus came and suffered and died for us and justified us, and now there's no condemnation, and he builds this beautiful picture of where we were and what Christ did and where we are now. But here, as he closes up his book, his letter, he says, "Now, what, shouldn't we be doing something about that?" And he says, "Yeah, what we're doing is giving our life to God now. We're laying our life down as living sacrifices and discovering," what's those last 3 words in verse 2? "Discovering the will of God." How many of you want to know the will of God for your life? I know what the will of God is for your life. Follow Jesus. Love Jesus. Serve Jesus. Get to know Jesus. But there's some very important particulars for every one of us. "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You have to cross-reference this with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's Paul sharing the same basic theme with the Christians in Rome that he shared with the Christians in Corinth. The church in Corinth, as we've said many times, has had so many problems, fighting over all kinds of things. And they had flesh issues and you know, all kinds of just division issues. But here Paul is saying the same thing. I've been given grace. You've been given grace. We've all been given something to do for Jesus. Every single one of us. Verse 4 again, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body, individually members or connected to one another. Listen to this list now. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, I know that that's in italics and that typically means that it wasn't in the original language, but it's inferred. Since we have different gifts, what are you going to do with those gifts? Let them sit on the shelf and gather dust? Wear the badge that says, I'm a prophet, but I never prophesy. I'm a servant, but I never serve. I'm a trombone player, but I never do it. What are you going to do? Just boast in the fact that you have a gift? He said, no, use the gift that God's given you. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, is anybody surprised that after Paul talks about the gifts, the charismata, that's the word behind it, especially in 1 Corinthians, that the next thing he talks about is the same thing he did in 1 Corinthians? After Paul spent a chapter in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians talking about gifts, what did he talk about? For another chapter, love. Look at the next verse. After, in an abbreviated manner, he said, look, you've all got gifts and you got to use those gifts. He says this in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. And then he describes what that means. Put love underneath all of this. You may not all have a particular gift, but you're all called to love. He says, we've got different gifts. Let's use them. Turn in your Bible a little bit further to the right. Past Galatians, where we've been on the weekend services, and go over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Look at another list. Oh, we're going to get to Acts in a second. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. We read from this on the weekend, but in verse 10, I said verse 11, didn't I? Back up to verse 10. He who descended is also he who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Read verse 12 with me. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Keep reading verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. There's love again. Paul can't get away from the love, and he can't get away from the fact that we're all gifted with something to do. Now, most people would call... Most teachers and writers would call those gifts that we've just read, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, leadership gifts or office gifts within the church. And that's what the Acts chapter 13 passage is about. Flip over there really quickly. I want you to see it so you can mark it in your Bible and cross-reference it for further study and maybe sharing it with somebody else somewhere down the road. But listen to what the church in Antioch was like, way up the Mediterranean coast. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and it gives the list. and they ministered to the Lord. What were those leadership gifts in the body for? Well, Ephesians tells us that the leaders in the body of Christ, the leaders in the church, any local church, the leaders in that fellowship are not there to entertain the church. They're there to build up the church, to edify every single believer. Now, I don't want to have boring services, but I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to teach and to instill truth and hopefully to put it across in a way that it's easy to understand and easy to employ in our lives. So that when we leave here, hopefully, and I know it's not always true, man, you have no idea how many times I walk out of here on a Sunday afternoon thinking, oh, I wish I could do that again. I could get it right if I could just do it four times. But the whole point, I hope, is that you leave here with tangible truth that somehow fits into our lives and we can live it, not know it, not just know it and know where to find it, but so that we can live it out. That's the whole point of all of this. My life focus, and I think that in these gifts, like pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and even the other lists, givers, leaders, administrators, those are the kind of gifts that define for anyone that has them a life focus, a project, you could say, sort of a trajectory for our lives, where God is now maybe taking us in a new way, in a different way in His work. Maybe at a different time in your life, it'll go from one thing to another, but this is a purposeful, deliberate focus in our life. I think it was in 1984 or 5, God began to stir our hearts for Australia. And even before it was specifically Australia, it was the mission field. My first trip to the mission field, anybody want to guess where it was? I was living in the California desert. What border do you think I crossed first? Mexico, into Mexico. How well do you think I did in Mexico? Dos tacos. That's about as far as I knew. Oh, por favor. I knew how to say it nicely. But I remember coming back from that little trip with this sense in my heart that God was going to call me. That he was, as I say so often, he was nudging me, you know, towards the mission field. And my first problem was, I don't think I could adequately learn another language, God. I just don't think I could do that. And then I was led to, I think it was God that led me, in 1986, that's how I know. It says 1986, can everybody see that? In 1986, at the supermarket, and I see the World Almanac, Book of Facts, 1986. And I'm a sucker for books like this, facts and tidbits, and there's history in here. And there was a section about all the nations of the world, and I'm just flipping through it at the newsstand, and I noticed, oh, I didn't know this. I might have opened up to this one. St. Lucia, population, 120,000 people. Language, official language, English. Who knew that? I didn't know that. I don't know if you'd be able to see this. It's kind of faded in the year over the years. But all those that are highlighted, there's a few more coming, are all the nations where English was either the first language or the second language listed. You know how many there were? Out of the 200-plus nations in the world, not too many more than 200 political nations in the world, there were over 60 nations. And I remember the evening I sat down and highlighted this. And I felt like the voice of God said to my heart, next excuse, Bill. Here's 60 places I could take you if you're too lazy to learn a language. He didn't say it quite like that, but that was the beginning of God refocusing our life and the churches that I've been a part of on mission, that we don't just exist for ourselves. God wants to pick us up and move us out. And this, what we're looking at tonight, this new focus for our life, sort of a laser focus for our life, not just the happenstance ministry that God ordains for us to bump into my buddy over there sitting under the umbrella at Jamba Juice, but which way will I head, Lord, in my life? What direction on the compass am I supposed to move towards, or what nation, or what ministry? do you want to stir up and accomplish in me? It answers the question, what does God want me to focus on at this point in my walk with Him? It's about your unique calling, what He's called you to do. Now remember this. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but remember we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. There are different gifts, it's the same Spirit. There are different ministries, it's the same Lord. There are different effects, different appearances to how that ministry kind of takes shape, but it is the same God. And Paul wrote all those things to a church that was divided over spiritual gift issues. And he said, come on, guys, give each other some latitude. Not everyone that has the same gift will have a ministry that looks exactly the same. So it's one body with many, many different callings and a church just this size. I mean, if this was all we were, this would still be a church that's a lot bigger than most churches around the world, just even our Wednesday night gathering. With a gathering this size of people who are serious enough to get in the Word on Wednesday, don't you know there's interesting things on TV tonight? Well, what brought you in here tonight? Well, hopefully a hunger and a desire to be together with God's people, to bless His name together, study His Word, and understand it in a way that we can begin to employ it. So the question here is this: is there something specific that God wants me to do right now? And what will I do with what He's given me? If God's put something in my hands, what am I going to do with that? And we're going to go through a list of sort of an assessment list that might help us to begin to understand and discover maybe something that God has, if He's trusted me with a resource, maybe He wants to use that. Maybe it's for something more than just for me, but this is not about what will I tell others they ought to be doing, but what will I do? You have no idea how many times pastors hear this. Can I talk to you for a minute? Sure, you can talk to me. If I got more than a minute sometimes, but yes, you can talk to me. And so I've got this idea that somebody ought to do this. And I have a pastor friend that was stubborn on this. If it came on a sheet of paper or it came with just a verbal explanation, it would be, that is a great idea, and that's your assignment. It's not that somebody ought to do it. If God gave it to you, you ought to go do that. Because now that's not my call, but that's your call. And you need to ask God and seek Him on, how do I do that, Lord? What is the next step? And you got to run with that. Run with it yourself. So it's about being led by the Spirit into my life focus. And I want you to see this. And by the way, that's for the profit of all. Led by the Spirit, my life focus will require diligence and strategy. I didn't get to Australia with my family. What's the date on that book? I didn't get to Australia with my family 5 years later without some diligence and some strategy and some team building and some prayer and building resources and some saving, inviting people to be a part of what we were doing. But it requires diligence and strategy, patience, and stamina. That means that you continue to move, faithful movement in the same direction, even through seasons where it feels like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I just read an email today from Brett Curtis, who's from Youth with a Mission. And he had, when they were here over 2 years ago, about 2.5 years ago, with those 200 kids that filled this place up and hit our beaches and our parks and our shopping centers, Brett had this vision for another mercy ship, another YWAM mercy ship, DTS, where they had discipleship training school that they would hold on board on a sailing vessel. And I just saw the post today that I think that ship has made it from Colombia through the Panama Canal up the coast of Mexico, up, and I think they're in Hawaii now with the ship, and they're getting ready to ship out. I think the next crew of young people to go into areas. You know where I bet they're going pretty soon? Philippines. I bet anything they're going to sail across the Pacific. But that took a lot of obedience in the same direction, even when it seemed like nothing was happening. And what it does is it resets the course of your life. There's something new in the center. There's something, the new centerpiece on the table of your life. And this is now becomes the ministry focus of your life. Some of those big ideas are time sensitive, and it's a project that God gives you, and you do it till it's done, and then you move on to the next thing. How many of you have had projects like that? God called you to do something, and you did it, and now you're on to the next thing. And that's exactly it, though. God says, hey, would you go do this for me? And you do it. For some of us, it may be the rest of your life. I would be thrilled if God said, Bill, this is where you're going to serve for the rest of your life. You enjoy or here, this is it. This is the, not end of the road, that sounds very different, doesn't it? But this is the station for you. I would be equally as thrilled if God said, I have another assignment. This is done, hand over the baton, and another assignment somewhere else. Joy and I are just committed to that. We will follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Isn't that what you want? To follow him wherever he tells you to go. And so that's where our hearts are. Some of those big ideas, though, will be those time-sensitive projects where, you know, you have a start, you have a launch, and then it may have an end. But trust me, you have a calling on your life to do something for Jesus, along with being a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, whatever. Your family assignment is absolutely important. So what's your big idea? What's your life focus? Are you willing to put all that in God's hands and say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go after you. Now, I want to move quickly through this next thing about taking inventory. What resources do you have? I want you to think about that for a second. I mean, just think of everything. Stuff in your garage, stuff in your storage container. What do you have? What are your resources? I mean, the tangible resources. You got a rope? What could you do with a rope? I got an idea. And do we have anybody that skips rope really well here? I don't want to do that for you tonight. But you're going to see a list of ministries that are going to make some of you laugh in a minute. And some of you may think, well, man, I can skip rope for Jesus. Some of them are going to seem, I mean, that might sound silly, but some of them are going to seem even sillier than that to you. Or they may seem all by themselves sort of insignificant. They're not. But what do you have? What are your resources? And it includes our finances. How many of you have been through the Dave Ramsey course? And if you haven't, you need to get signed up and go through that. It's a powerful, powerful course to help you look at your finances differently than you ever have. And by the way, not just so that you can give more here. It's just so that you can be responsible in that aspect of your life. Our resources, what do you have? The second question is your connections. Who do you know? What do we call that? What do we call that? Our connections, especially in business, networking. Jesus said he's sending us out to be fishers of men. Fishers need nets. And your network of communication, I mean, your network of connections with people in your life, that's a resource in the hands of God. In that circle of connections, relationships, what if you're Peter and along comes Andrew? What if you're Paul and there's a Barnabas in your circle of connections? What if there's a conversation, you know, someday where you're sitting down at lunch or at a coffee shop with somebody and your buddy says, you know what, I've been thinking about loading up the truck and heading across the border. And what if you say, you know what, that sounds like a great idea. Let's go do that. And something more than just one trip across the border comes out of that. What are your resources? What are your connections? Who do you know? What are your gifts? What can you do? In other words, what are you good at? What are your interests? What do you love to do? And that's even areas that we would call like our hobbies. Well, God wants my hobby? Wait till you see this list in just a minute about what God can do with whatever it is. And the bottom line of all of it is, what is your calling? What do you sense God consistently, persistently, the better word, stubbornly speaking to your heart? Something that he says, I'm not going to let go of this. How many of you have ever sensed the Holy Spirit repeating something to you? Because you just, either you thought, well, that's just me. And he finds a way to bring it up again. That's what happened with us, with Australia. It came up over and over and over again. And I would always ask God this, when you know, especially in areas of directing our life, Lord, you please confirm this from some other source that has nothing to do with the source that I just heard it from. So it's not just people whispering, you know, to one another, give it to him again and give it to him again. I said, God, confirm it. And I could go into many, many stories about the way that he has done that. But your inventory, now, 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Jesse, come on up, Jess. Jesse was going through 1 Peter chapter 4. I think it was the last half or the first half, whatever it was. And he shared something that that evening. I listened to the message finally this Monday. And I asked Jesse if he would come, because he was kind of on this same thing in 1 Peter, where Peter said, if you've got gifts, let's use them. If you speak as of the oracles of God. If you serve, then do it this way, that way. So I asked Jesse if he would take some time and share with you what he shared with the Sunday night group, because it was great. So welcome back, Jesse.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have this thing on, yeah?
Is this one up?
Is this up? Okay, there we go. Yeah, turn it down. Okay.
He's also a very gifted sound man, too.
Okay, there you go. That's probably good. Okay, so, yeah, what I was talking about then was really kind of the same idea that Bill's talking about. Is it feeding back? A little bit less. Yeah, less. Sorry. it was kind of the same thing. There's a list, okay, in 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. It's down towards the bottom. It's just a really small list. It gives a couple examples. And as I was looking through those, I realized, you know, this is not a box that God's building that says, hey, if you want to serve me, you have to fit into this box. You know, he's just giving examples of what, you know, ways you could serve. And he's telling us, really, that we need to find out what our calling is. You know, in what ways can we serve Christ? I mean, we're not all exactly the same, right? And that's a good thing. You know, if we're all exactly the same, it would be boring, right? That's not who our God is, you know? God is really looking for our time, our talent, our treasures. He's looking for all of us. You know, he's looking for every bit of our lives to serve him. And in that, we often get hung up on, well, what are my gifts? You know, what are the talents that God has given me? What's the calling on my life? I remember living in San Diego and looking at my life, and I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to give him something, you know, some part of my life. And I look around and I see my wife. You know, she's a great worship leader, you know, obviously talented. And so that's obvious, right? That's her gift. And, you know, I see Bill, and that's, you know, he's a great teacher, you know. And so you look around, and sometimes it can be discouraging. You look around, and you're like, oh, obviously, that's your gift. Well, what's my gift? And, you know, I remember just having this, like, conversation in my head, and I really felt like the Lord was telling me, you know, I was at this point where I thought, you know, maybe my gift is just to work hard and pay for things for other people, you know, or whatever, I don't know. And he really impressed on my heart that he didn't want my money, he wanted my heart, you know. And that was the first step. And then from there, it was really looking at three questions, three things that I asked myself and that kind of led me on the journey that I'm on right now. You know, these questions, are they up there for us?
One by one.
The first question is, what are you passionate about? Okay. If you're taking notes, this is a good thing to write down. What are you passionate about? You know, what moves you? What do you dream about at night? What do you think about? You know, I think for all of us, some of us are going to line up on the same thing, you know, others of us are going to think of something totally random, but we all have different talents. We all have different things that we're passionate about, right? And God can use those things, right, to reach other people that are passionate about those things. Okay, so that's the first question. What are you passionate about? What do you excel at? Okay, this is the second question, because a lot of us are passionate about things that we're just not good at, right? I mean, it's cool, you know, when you like to do something, but ultimately, you want it to be something that you're good at, something that you can put a little bit of effort in and get a great return out of, okay? So that's really the second question, and I think a very important question, because, yeah, you don't want to be doing stuff that you're not good at. The last question here, now, this is the most important question, and when I first wrote this question, it said, does it advance God's kingdom? And I was looking at that question, I was like, that's not right. The question should be, how can we use it to advance God's kingdom? Because there are going to be interests that you have, skills that you have, and Bill's going to show you a list of some crazy things that you would not think God would use. And he can use those things if we're willing to give him those things. You know, if we're willing to, like I said earlier, step out of our comfort zone, you know, to get out of our comfort zone and to let God use us to push us out and forward and to go where we haven't gone before, you know? Every time I'm asked to come up here, I want to say no, you know? Honestly, I don't like coming up here. But you know, it's out of my comfort zone. And, you know, when we get to a point where we can identify, you know, as I'm saying these things, you probably have something coming to mind, you know, something that, You know, maybe it's sports, maybe it's art, maybe it's music, you know. Something's coming to mind. And as you go down that road, for me, I'm at a point where, you know, I feel like I want to let God work in my life by doing what's next, you know, doing what is asked of me next. Even if it's scary, even if it's something that I don't think I can do, that's a perfect opportunity for God to show himself, right? Because if it was something I was completely awesome at, then I could easily say, you know, well, yeah, I'm great at it anyway, so I might as well, you know, do this. But God takes what we're good at and he just like opens the door, you know, it's just kind of like the floodgates just open up and he gives you opportunity that you never would have had before. He gives you, you know, an audience that you never would have had before. And he really just takes that obedience, I think, and it can turn into something great.
One of the things that you're passionate about that you don't think that you excel at, God has still used that love for surfing.
Yes.
Because of the relationships that, you know, you end up in the middle of, and you've gone along with some of the youth retreats and that.
Yeah.
And anything that's like, even if it's just the interest and the passion level that you have, you may not excel. I bet you've gotten better.
I have gotten better, yeah. I used that 2 weeks ago as something that is absolutely an interest. I absolutely love surfing, like love it so much. But I was not good at it, and not that I'm really good now or anything, but I was not good at it for a really long time. It was really hard. And but yeah, absolutely. You know, God can use absolutely everything. And I think that a lot of us get scared when we think of that thing, because I know like 90% of you guys are thinking of something. I have no idea. Maybe it's quilting. I don't know. But it's something. It's something. And you may think like, hey, this is ridiculous. There's no way that God could use this. But there are other people with those same exact feelings and the same exact interests and same passions. Mm-hmm. And God can use it if you'll just let him. If you'll just take that next step. Like Bill was saying, you know, if there's not a ministry here that you, you know, can get plugged into or you're not feeling, you know, but you have an idea for one, I mean, don't come to us and say, or come to me and say, hey, you should do this or you should do that. That's God's calling on your life. And I can guarantee you that you will not be completely satisfied with what you're doing until you're doing what God's called you to do. And I could not say that had I not been in that place where I really felt like I had everything that the world thought, you know, I should have and what I thought I wanted. Mm-hmm. I got to this point, and it's so textbook, but where, you know, I wasn't satisfied. Because I wasn't doing what God had called me to do, you know, and I really think that that's important. I think it's true.
Yeah. And by the way, if God gives you this big idea, and I love to hear this when people come and say, hey, I really have this desire to do this, and would you help me think through it? Help me, you know, build this into a ministry and just at least think through the jungle of getting from where I am to where we're launching out to the other side of the world or the other side of the street. Love to have those kind of conversations with people. So,
absolutely. Equipping people, enabling people, guiding people, you know, because everyone needs guidance. Yeah. Everyone wants to, you know, if you have a great idea, you're going to need guidance. You're going to need equipping, you know, and that's what we all should be doing for each other.
Man. Yeah. Thanks, Jess.
Cool.
Perfect, man. And I want to show you some things up on the screen that are from a church down in San Diego. We went to a conference, I think it was earlier this year at The Rock, and it was the conference was Do Something. It's their Do Something Church Conference. And I want to show this to you, but these ones are not on the list. At least I didn't see them on their list, but I've seen these ministries. Clowns for Christ. Anybody ever seen that? I'm not talking about our pastoral staff, but Clowns for Christ. Yeah, people that love doing that. They love making kids laugh, and they love, you know, going and doing the party thing, and they've turned it, many of them have turned it into a ministry. Cowboys, this one really existed. I don't know if it still does. Cowboys and Boot Wearers for Christ. All you got to know how to do is wear the boots, and I guess you can be a part of the ministry. I'm not sure what they do. But I want you to see this. This is from down at the Rock Church. You can look this up on their website. If you just look in Rock Church San Diego Ministries, you can see this for yourself and read it a lot better. These are their core ministries, and I guess these happen all the time. Men's, women's, marriage, young adults, junior high, senior high. Most churches have these kind of ministries. Children, community events, follow-up, and finances. Almost all churches have all of those ministries. Sunday ministries that every church is always saying, oh, we need more help. Where is it? With the children, with the kids' ministries. Hospitality, production arts, safety, traffic control, worship arts, pastoral care. You got the altar call, the care counseling, chaplains, disaster response, pastoral staff team, and prayer. And now look at this, outreach. This is going to be, I think, about 8 different screens up here. I was blown away at how many different ministries have risen in that church, and they have a very meticulous way, a very detailed way that they'll walk through what I just said to you. Somebody says, I've got a heart to reach out to the prostitutes in our city. We don't just pat them on the back and say, hey, go for it, sister. Or brother. You certainly don't say, go for it, brother. For something like that. But they walk with them through a process of thinking through it, and how will you staff it? How will you fund it? What will you do when you get there? How will it be effective? How will you share the gospel in that? Because it's not just about social, meeting social needs. So adoption, apologetics, Awana. How many of you were ever in Awana? Anybody go to Awana? It's a kids' Bible thing. And our 2 older girls went through that. Biblical citizenship, bikes for kids. Let me go through some of these. Cancer care, care packages. One down here. See the dolls? You are loved. Those are dolls that a bunch of people in the church, they make them. They color them. I mean, they decorate them beautifully. They make them cuddly so that when a chaplain's going out to a place where there's been a disaster in the home, and there's a little child there, maybe his lost mom or dad, and they give them a little doll. They give them these soft, cuddly little dolls. And somebody said, I got an idea. And it's one of the most welcome ministries among the law enforcement agencies in San Diego. Disability ministries, domestic violence, eating disorders. How do you reach out to people with the with the end of life issues? How do you become a compassionate church with a team of people that said, well, once a leader said, hey, I want to do this. You know how many people in a church that size said, I'd love to be a part of that? And so your big idea might just move more people. DJs for Jesus. Okay. Divorce care, people that are walking through the breakup of a marriage. Espanol, food trucks. I mean, read through these yourself. Graphic design, home improvement, infertility, human trafficking. A young lady from our fellowship that had been here from the time she was a little girl. I was over in Austria. And somehow I got, I think I put something on Instagram, and she responded to it, said, you're in Austria. I'm moving to Austria on Wednesday. I thought, well, you're moving to Austria? She said, yeah, to Vienna. And I thought, wow, what are you moving to Vienna for? And I didn't get an answer back, but I was sitting at this conference table at lunch with some people from Vienna. I said, this young lady is moving to Vienna. He said, why is she moving there? I said, I don't know. I know she's involved in reaching out to somehow stop human trafficking. They said, that's why she's moving there. Because Vienna is the capital for human trafficking between Eastern Europe and Western Europe. That's exactly what she was doing. God said to her, you're going to step up and do something about this. And she's started a team of people. How did I get there? Oh, well, anyway, I must have kept pressing it. Prison ministries, law enforcement, medical, memorial, messianic Jewish outreach. It goes on. Loss of a baby. People in the fellowship that have lost a child or a miscarriage, they'll move in and just stand alongside of them. Leadership issues. Quilting. Quilting for Christ. Quilting for Jesus, puppets for Jesus, pro-life. I mean, it went on and on in that fellowship. Just people that said, I've got an idea. I want to reach out. I want to do more than study this Bible. I want to take what I've learned and invade somewhere. Youth tutoring, writers, working Christians, women's Bible studies, women's restoration. It goes on and on. What is the big idea that God has put in your heart? What does he want you to do? And then the sports. I mean, this goes on. This one almost felt endless. Well, I don't know whatever sport you're into, but it's going to be listed up there somewhere. 1, 2, 3, and there's the end of it. But whatever the sport is, no, what's the point? We're just going to go out and have fun? A bunch of Christians having fun? No, we're going to find a way to find people that are into, I have no idea what Zumba Fitness is. I've never heard of Zumba Fitness, but there must be more than one person doing it. And one of them must be a Christian because they think people love doing this. I want to reach people that love this, and I want to reach out in the name of Jesus to touch lives. And I just love to see God's people motivated. Ultimate frisbee for Jesus? Well, there's people doing it. So it puts you in a circle where people who need Jesus come in contact with people who know Jesus. And I know tonight is very, very sort of detailed, practical, on purpose. Because what I want to encourage you to do is to take whatever those things we mentioned earlier, your passion, your giftings. I don't want to point them out because as soon as I point them out, somebody's going to say, oh, I need him to do that for me too. There's a mechanic here in the church who loves to fix cars for people and does it with a touch of the kingdom. Jesse and his family knew a man by the name of George. And George went to the mission field in Mexico and served there for a long, long time down in Sinaloa, Mexico. But before he went there with his heart for missions, you know what he would do? He and his wife, they would jump into their motorhome and they would drive up and down I-40 looking for people that were broken down alongside of the road. And while George would go out and he would fix the car, sometimes it would include a trip to a local parts store. His wife, Jeannie, was that her name? Jennifer. Jennifer would be with whatever family was there in the motorhome, making them coffee or breakfast or lunch and sharing Jesus with them. A mechanic that said, I'm going to use this for Jesus. And I love to fix problems. I love to make cars run. What is it that you're good at? And what is it that God may be nudging you into doing? Let me encourage you. Put it on the table before the Lord and just ask him, God, would you have me do this? Would you have me do this maybe even for the rest of my life? I'm willing, God, to lay that in your hands. So, do you have a rope? Do you like to jump rope? Do you like to lasso bulls? I don't know. There's 1,000 things you can do with a rope. Do you like to pull people up out of deep pits? And you know the way we've used this rope here at Refuge over and over again? It's a story that we tell every year in our missions class, that his name was William Carey. And William Carey came back to recruit people for ministry out in India and anywhere in the world. He had this thing he loved to say to congregations, because he was going back. And he said, I will descend into the deepest pit on this earth if you'll hold the other end of the rope for me. He said, I'll go if you'll send me. And for some of us, I just really believe that we have to, for the rest of our life, if we're true disciples of Jesus, we need to be holding on to one end of this rope or the other. We need to be a goer who is stepping into some area of great need, or one of the particular gifts that was listed was giving. It says those who give, to give generously, to give with liberality. And I remember this woman, I can't remember her name. She desperately wanted to go to the mission field and her health wouldn't let her. So she said, well, if they won't let me go to that climate and live and serve there, then I'll work here and I will live as close to the bone as I can. And every penny that I have, I will use to support somebody who will get to go in my place. Christian, saved by God's grace. You're heading for heaven, aren't you? Don't you want to see other people get there? I guess apparently some of them like to Zumba dance or whatever. And some of them like to, play badminton. Whatever it is, that whatever circle God puts you in, find a way, at least put it on the table and say, Lord, I want you to use me. And remember, in all of this too, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to spend some time closing in some worship. This is still all of it, even though you're good at it, surfing or baseball or mechanics, whatever, even though you're good at it, it is still, how does the kingdom grow? It is still, listen carefully, not by might, nor by power, nor by my cleverness or my wicked backhand, but it's by his spirit. And you'll see in the context and in the course of what he calls you to do, doors pop open where you get to share the gospel to another soul and tell them, blood was shed to set you free. my friend across the street today. Jesus loved you enough to die for you, my friend. And you'll have opened the door and gained the opportunity and the right to speak into that life boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. So where will you go? And what will you do for him? Start simply. Start right now. Start in prayer. And tell him, God, I'm desperate. I am desperate to make sure that my life is not wasted, but invested in your work. Do we need you here? Oh, man, more than ever. More than ever. We need more people working with kids. We need more people involved in missions. We need more people involved in the Thanksgiving outreach and all the things that we do. Take a lot of man hours and a lot of resources, of course. But you seek God. And you say, Lord, what's the big idea that you'll drop into my heart? What is it? I'll go for it. Father in heaven, thank you for recruiting us onto your team. Thank you for saving us, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for not allowing us just to settle into complacency. Apathy, Father. May our hearts truly be broken with the things that break your heart, Lord. May we care about what you care about. Love the people around us the way that you love the people around us. Father, I pray that you would stir up and raise up 100 new ministries in this church with circles of brothers and sisters working together to further your work, your kingdom. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts. We surrender to you, Lord. Our hearts are open. Thank you, Father. Take a minute right now and just tell the Lord that you're ready for him to walk you through that assessment over what you have and who you know and what you're passionate about and what you'll do to further his kingdom. Tell him that you're willing and you're ready for him to begin to order that new focus of your life. Maybe it's refreshing the focus that he's already given you. But be all in, committed to his work. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.